Very good afternoon, everyone. Time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92, where we get together with registered dietitian nutritionist Amber Boyens from right here in Madison, Minnesota at Immunutrition and Madison Healthcare Services. How are you doing, Amber?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Got an interesting topic today.
Sure. I think so.
Yeah. I think you'll be able to talk for 15 minutes on this.
Oh, I know.
So I know you've discussed interest in this subject before, but it's what ultra-processed foods do to the brain.
It is.
Ooh, that doesn't sound scary.
You know, and it does sound scary, right? And I think anybody who's met with me in my office, talked to me about nutrition, listened to Taco Tuesday, hopefully you know that I'm not a fan of nutrition fear-mongering, right?
Right.
Life is about balance. It's not about avoiding certain things, labeling things as good versus bad. So that's...
And having a good feeling about what you eat.
That's right. Yeah. So it's not, today is not about fear mongering either, but I do think as we look at our current food environment, as we look at family schedules that get busier and busier, as we look at, you know, people's ability to cook and cooking skills and all of that decreasing, changing landscapes in grocery stores, all of that kind of stuff, I just think it's important for people to be able to make the most educated decisions that they can for them and for their families. So we've talked a fair amount of ultra-processed food as it relates to weight or cardiovascular disease or things like that. But today I wanted to focus a little bit more on our brains. And the reason for this is somebody had sent me an article that was published earlier this month about the amount of ultra-processed food intake in preschoolers and behavior at age five. So the intake was initially measured in three-year-olds, and then behaviors were looked at with five-year-olds for this specific study. Same five-year-olds. And what we see is not promising. So especially considering the amount of processed foods that we eat as Americans in a typical day, it's a little bit concerning. So what the research has kind of shown us, because we've had a lot of studies that have come out in the last few years, is that, you know, we know that ultra-processed foods, which we'll define here in a moment, are created to make us want more of them. So they're a combination of sugar and fat and salt and things that are added to them that make them more appealing to us from a mouthfeel standpoint with regards to what they do in our brain to activate our dopamine pathways and make us happy with regards to what they look like. We've had a lot of conversations about food dyes and things like that. But this combination, the way that things are put together in these ultra-processed foods, can increase our cravings. It can drive us more toward eating out of habit versus eating out of hunger and nourishment. And it can reduce how much we enjoy real food. So we don't recognize as strongly the sugar in a piece of fruit, or we don't recognize the flavor of a piece of meat that we've grilled ourselves. So it changes how our body and our brain are craving and seeking different things. Some of the research we've seen in adults is that when we have higher ultra-processed food intake, we see lower performance with regards to memory and executive function and faster cognitive decline. So the highest intakes of ultra-processed foods have been linked to about a 25% faster rate of cognitive decline. I think most people, as they're aging, want to hold on to that. People start to notice quickly when their memory is fading a little bit. And eating nourishing foods and limiting our processed foods appears to be a way we can do this. But now we've started to see more studies come out on processed food intake in children and just with regards to mental health in general. So when we look at the whole population, we have up to a 50% higher risk of depressive symptoms when we look at people who intake more of those ultra-processed foods. So things like anxiety, hyperactivity, behavioral challenges, depressive symptoms, all of that. So as we're thinking about how these foods impact neural pathways in our brain, when we also consider that our preschool years are especially sensitive, right? Because 90% of our brain structure is developed by age five. So it's not that we don't continue to develop our brain. Our brain continues to mature into our 20s.
Some people kind of stop there.
Some people stop early on.
That's just
sure.
An editorial comment.
But those early diet patterns absolutely influence how things are developing. So emotional regulation, behavior, all of that can be impacted. So if we think about early on exposure, creates stronger preferences and just reinforces those pathways to eat the more processed things. So this helps us explain why we can't just eat better, right? That's what we tell people. Just quit eating processed foods and eat more whole foods. Well, we are neurologically wired to want those processed foods. So it's not just as simple as just changing what we're doing. It shifts us away from talking about willpower as the sole factor in what people are choosing to eat to talking more about environment and exposure and biology. So what are these ultra-processed foods that we're talking about? Well, it's not everything that's processed. We have a range of things, right? We have minimally processed things. I like to factor in, you know, canned tuna, for example. It's still just fish. Usually there's not a lot of extra stuff added to it. But then we get all the way to like energy drinks, which are not much in the way of whole food, right? There's a bunch of stuff that's added into them. Same thing with a lot of our packaged sweets and desserts and chips and a lot of our grab-and-go snack foods, some of our frozen or ready-to-eat meals. And when we look at just these ultra-processed things and defining them as things that have, you know, all these extra added flavors and emulsifiers to give them the right texture and hold them together and sweeteners and all of that, nearly 70% of what kids eat today falls into that ultra-processed category. So we're seeing some of the effects of that as we see some other things and challenges increase. But even when we're talking about adults, more than half of our daily intake is coming from these ultra-processed foods. Now, important to recognize, this isn't about every single snack we eat. Like having goldfish, right, is not having a snack of goldfish isn't saying that a child is never going to be able to regulate their emotions.
We're talking about eating a whole box of goldfish, right?
Every day, right? It comes down to those patterns. Or maybe we have goldfish, but we have those goldfish alongside fruits and vegetables, or we have them along with nuts and popcorn, or we have just these different ways that we can put things together. So it's not about just eliminating all of the processed foods that we eat. It's about finding ways to reduce them and pair them and partner them with whole foods that are going to give us more nourishment. Finding ways to prioritize making time for that, because I know that life is busy. So when we think about adding in new foods, it's important to recognize that it can take 10 to 20 exposures or more to a food before a kid tries it, and weeks for the adult brain to accept a new behavior or a new food, a different flavor. Cutting out creamer in your coffee. You've never been a creamer in your coffee kind of person.
I have not.
I have not grown into black coffee yet. But it takes time for us to shift away from that sweetener, weeks for adults to get into drinking black coffee or finding that alternative. So one of the things we can start with, because that's what it's all about, is just finding a place to start. It's not about, you know, I'm not recommending people go home and overhaul their entire kitchen and throw everything away and start from scratch. But looking at just, you know, one little adjustment that you can make, maybe it's making the fruits and vegetables more available and more visible in your home so that those are more of a go-to snack. Maybe it's, you know, having the goldfish portioned out ahead of time so that smaller portions are being consumed.
Just
maybe
don't
it's
set the whole box out.
That's right. Because the things that are sitting out, the things that we're looking at, the things that are visible are the things we're going to eat. So as you're kind of assessing your own intake over the next week or your family's intake over the next week, just start to think about, you know, when I look at this, how many of these things have all this extra stuff added to them? And is there either an alternative I can switch to or just something I can eat with it that's going to give my body the nourishment that it needs to help our brain reformulate some of those pathways, appreciate the flavor of whole foods, and keep our brain as healthy as we can.
And I'm scrolling here and looking at information that I always do while you're talking, and everybody agrees with you.
Well, I hope so. Yeah.
That it's, cognitive and academic deficit, behavioral issues, developmental disruptions, on and on it goes. So
it's hard.
A good thing.
Yeah. And I'm not here to create parent guilt. Trust me, I've got my own kids. I'm not saying their diets are perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect diet, right? It doesn't exist. But just what can we do so that we're setting our kids up for the best success? And as adults, what are we doing to set ourselves up for best aging?
Right.
Easy.
Yeah, nothing to it.
Yeah, I know it's not.
And pack a good school lunch.
That's right.
We talked about that last week, so.
We do talk about school lunches, yes.
All right. Very good. Well, if anybody has any questions on this or other topics, how can they find you, Amber?
Yep, you can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com. On Facebook at imunutrition, or call up to the clinic here in Madison at 598-7551. And if anyone's interested, at noon on Monday the 30th of March, there's an open to the public power hour with me. That you can register for. So call up to the clinic and they can get you registered, or go on the Facebook page for Madison Healthcare Services and find the link to register there.
All right. Your speaking engagements, you've booked another one too, Madison Kiwanis Club.
That's right.
Tuesday, April 14th.
Yep.
Everybody's welcome to attend our Kiwanis meetings too. You're going to be talking. We don't know what you're talking about there yet.
But it'll be a surprise.
It'll be good.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, Amber, thank you. And we'll talk again next week.
Sounds great. Thank you.